be less intrusive and more effective than TSA. It is like a cop-out. It is the most expensive and the least effective rather than the least expensive and the most effective. And most importantly, it denies the most Americans the most freedom that any measure could possibly do. It is, with the broadest brush possible, intrudes upon the liberty of all Americans. And yet we, like sheep, docilely, if that's a word, accept that.
Well, I mean, most Americans submit to it. I'm not sure how many accept it. I mean, there are plenty of folks out there who would like to cast the TSA into the junk bin of history, and I'm certainly one of those, as are you. But it's, you know, let's just say it's not an active majority. It's, you know, it's too bad some of the presidential candidates haven't lit up on this, because they might be able to boost their poll ratings that way, telling TSA horror stories. But this is the kind of thing which got established after 9/11, when folks had blind trust in government. And in the time since 9/11, we've had two presidents and a lot of federal agencies that taught us it was folly to trust the government. And yet, because TSA is entrenched, it has blocked a lot of efforts to try to loosen its, you know, strangle grip on American travelers. And it doesn't make us safer to have to empower federal agents to squeeze your butt or squeeze your boobs or worse. But this is how the agency has evolved. TSA covers up so many abuses, and I'm actually going back and forth with them right now on a situation I had, and they haven't, let's just say I've not got any insight yet. So
what I'm going to make a statement that's going to make me sound certifiable, as they say, but I'm going to defend it, and I think you can help. The TSA is, if you resort to a dictionary, the TSA is a terrorist organization. Now, before you overreact out there, my friends, let me explain what I mean by the TSA being a terrorist organization. The tactic of terrorism is to instill terror for the purpose of accomplishing a political goal. Now, the terrorist, the real terrorist out there in the world, they spent about $400,000 to bring down the three planes during 9/11, and they put some explosives in somebody's jockey shorts, and they put something in the heel of somebody's shoe. They probably spent $1 million. And then they could have, they being the terrorist, having spent $1 million on underwear, the heel of somebody's shoe, and a couple of box cutters, they could have all retired and gone to Nice and lived on the beach. Their work is done, and they leave behind a country that for the next 15 years has spent possibly $1 trillion and compromised many of our most important institutions. Their work has been done, and we will continue to do this terrorism theater maybe forever. Talk about leverage, and talk about getting a bang for the buck. So the terrorism continues by us being reminded that we better always feel terrorized, and the reminders are our own government and TSA. So they have created a process that lives for now 15 years beyond the event itself, and it'll never go away. How will we ever announce, okay, we have conquered terrorism, let's go back to the good old days? It can never happen. It's a war we can never win.
I would not call the TSA a terrorist organization. It does rely on a lot of fear-mongering. It does rely on arbitrary power. But it's sort of more like the secret police they were known in some European nations in the 1800s and in a lot of nations in the 20th century.
Like the Stasi in East Germany.
Where they have a lot of arbitrary power and you really don't quite know what's going to be prohibited this week. And all of a sudden it's small bottles. Next week you've got to take off your belt. The week after you've got to take off your left shoe. And all this uncertainty, and it is as if they are trying to make people believe there's some secret wisdom behind all their arbitrary policies. But if you follow the agency, if you follow its rulings, if you follow some of the court disclosures, I mean, it's just, you know, it's one idiotic thing after another. And when the IG comes out and says, well, they have a 95% failure rate.
Now, Jim, explain that. Some folks out there may not be familiar with that IG study. Say a little bit more about that well-reported 95% failure rate.
Well, this is a report. It was a confidential report, which was, I think, not supposed to come out, but somebody leaked it. And so leaked it in late May, early June. And it turned out that the inspector general had found that their agents who were going through were testing the TSA screening process were able to smuggle weapons and bombs past the TSA screeners and whole body scanners 95% of the time. So they almost always failed. They almost always failed to catch the real threat. And folks have forgotten, but TSA has not caught any terrorist. They've spent all these billions of dollars. They have hassled the hell out of millions of Americans. They have strutted. They have domineered. They have not caught any terrorists in the process of attacking American planes.
And, of course, TSA will say that the terrorists don't even try because they know they're going to get caught. But that's sort of belied by a 95% failure rate.
Right. I mean, the government has government's got a slow learning curve, and I don't think it'd be that difficult to work around what the TSA does. But for whatever reason, the terrorists have not targeted American airplanes, partly because there are some structural changes, like the cockpits being much tighter and much more difficult to enter than they were before 9/11, that have made airplanes safer. Also, the most important change is that airline passengers would no longer be passive in a hijacking attempt like they were in 9/11, based on what the government encouraged them to do. So, but it's sad to see how much nonsense the TSA gets away with. And it's a really good example of attention deficit democracy, because you have a relatively small number of Americans who are paying somewhat attention to the agency and realize it's all a bunch of BS. You have other Americans, perhaps a larger number, who are so docile by nature and are perhaps sometimes just kind of waiting to roll on the floor if ordered to by a government agency, and they insist on seeing TSA as a savior. It's interesting to see some of the hostile comments which people make on my articles or send me. I mean, some are very vitriolic, but yeah, that's okay. TSA is a good ink blot test for how Americans feel about their freedom and their rights. And there are lots of folks who will look at that ink blot and say, this is a damn outrage. This is not constitutional. Others will say, well, I don't quite understand the ink blot, but it makes me feel safe. So go ahead and do whatever you want to do.
And the most, to me, one of a very important reminder out there is, let us imagine there never was a 9/11 disaster, that it never happened. But imagine that the government announced, we are afraid of hijacking, so we will build TSA, and they built TSA in exactly the model it is now, but without 9/11 as the predicate. Would Americans have stood for that happening? Probably not, which means the direct cause and effect is 9/11 gave birth to CSA. Now,
oh, very much.
Now, the point being that 9/11 represented an intelligence failure, and 9/11 could have been avoided. It was a self-inflicted wound by America on itself, because it could have been prevented by intelligence agencies being in better communication. So you take a government failure, and the fix is yet another failure, which costs America profound inconvenience and cost to no benefit. And the link makes no sense. TSA does not prevent 9/11 events from happening. It was an intelligence failure, not an airport security failure.
Well, it was intelligence. It was law enforcement failure. There were all kinds of warning signs that the Fed simply disregarded. Plus, you know, there was, you know, the foreign policy was, we were making a lot more enemies than what people chose to recognize. And, you know, the current policy with the drone attacks and things like that that we're doing in a whole lot of countries, I mean, this is sowing seeds of hatred that could come back to bite us. There was a book I did a dozen years ago called Terrorism and Tyranny, and I made the point in that killing foreigners is no substitute for protecting Americans. But folks, many Americans have been as docile on judging U.S. foreign policy as they have been towards the TSA. Folks seem programmed to blindly trust the government. And when you have that, you're going to have some really bad government.
This is Bob Zadig. I'm speaking with Jim Bavar. Jim has written 8 or 9 or 10 books. Jim, I've lost track. He writes prolifically on the problems involved and with the structure and the behavior of TSA. 800-345-5639 to join my conversation with Jim at any time. Now, Jim, as a side note, if I am not mistaken, we had a TSA director. It was a guy named Chertoff, who was, I think, the first director, may not be the exact right word. And he then left government. And isn't he one of the vendors of the scanning machines to the agency he used to run?
Yeah, my understanding, he was involved in the lobbying or in perhaps the management of one of those companies. But he was certainly tied very closely to the whole body scanners, which have been which don't work, which are a huge intrusion, and which even the TSA has mothballed many of those, especially the ones that the TSA admitted radiates passengers, which is after a couple years of lies and cover-ups, they said, well, maybe we don't need to radiate customers. But, you know, it's interesting. There was a court ruling a couple years ago, I think in 2013, that said that compelled the TSA to take public comments on its screening policy and these whole-body scanners and other issues. TSA gradually opened up for public comments. I got over 5,000, the vast majority overwhelmingly critical of the agency. But the TSA was also obliged by the court to issue a statement in response to those, the policy justification or adjustment. TSA hasn't done that. It's a good example of how the TSA thinks the federal law as well as the Constitution simply does not apply to that agency.
Well, we know just from a casual reading in mainstream media that the executive branch particularly has totally ignored what is called the rule of law. And the executive branch, the Obama administration, has discovered that if the executive branch simply ignores the law, there is no individual or group of individuals or organization who has what is called standing to sue them. So under our system, there is no system by which one can compel the executive branch to obey the law. We read about that with Obamacare. We read about that with the EPA and their administrative processes. So that is simply a constitutional failure that there is, that agencies have discovered with more and more boldness that they are immune from the very laws that govern their behavior. So TSA, while they are an abuser of that, they are by no means the only abuser. It is a failure in the system. We rely to some degree upon the executive branch simply understanding they have to obey the law, but Obama, more than any of his predecessors, it probably was true in the past, but Obama, more than the others, have discovered they can simply ignore the law, and there is nobody who can force them to obey the law. So that is simply one example of the TSA, of abuses within the executive branch. Now, Jim, do you envision, do you advocate, would you support having the TSA simply be eliminated and we go back to a pre-TSA from the taxi cab to the airplane directly system?
I'm certainly in favor of abolishing the TSA. People can go back and forth on what should be replaced. I mean, I think back to the metal detectors they had prior even to the whole body scanners, which they used, the metal detectors that they had on 9/11, before 9/11, and those are things that work about as well as the whole body scanners, but they're vastly less intrusive. I'm not saying that airports don't need any security, but if it's private security, it's going to be done in a way that respects the rights and the dignity of travelers. When you have it done by federal agencies, and you have a lot of federal agents, some of whom enjoy trampling the rights of other Americans, you're going to have a worst-case scenario. You're going to have a scenario in which you don't have good security, but you've got a lot of rights violated. So get rid of the TSA, move to private solution, let there be experiments, let airlines, let airports set their own standards, and out of that will come a much better system.
To me, you know, the proof I find intellectual support for your position in the following. If the goal of terrorists, if the tactic is to disrupt American life, well, they have disrupted air travel, but there have not been any similar attempts on train travel, bus travel, sporting events, things of that nature, and all of that have been made, continue to be safe, at least in the minds of the public, despite the absence of TSA. So if I were a terrorist, I would simply take all of the other targets of opportunity that are a lot easier than airlines and use them to disrupt American life. And therefore, the fact that hasn't been done might show that even in the parts of American life that have no TSA protection, everything is reasonably safe. Is that a rational statement, or am I missing something?
Well, it certainly has not worked that well to give, you know, to create these, you know, 45,000 federal agents and give them basically legal immunity for violating people's rights and pretend that's going to make us safe. And certainly it doesn't make sense to have that level of intrusion and heavy-handedness around airports alone and yet have other parts of American life being unhassled by the feds. But the answer is not to have TSA everywhere. The answer is to have TSA nowhere.
And is it a rational argument to say that bus travel doesn't have TSA oversight and it is, based on experience, safe? Therefore, air travel without TSA supervision would be just as safe as bus travel? Or am I missing something in that logical process?
Well, it's interesting. There have been a lot of Supreme Court. There have been a number of court cases. Bus travel is fairly safe, except for when you have federal agents pull the bus over and decide to forcibly search everybody, which the DEA started doing on a routine basis in the 1980s, and basically going in and rubbing bus travelers, bus passengers' nose in the constitutional dirt because folks at the Supreme Court didn't care about bus travelers, and they were okay with letting the DEA treat them in a way that would never be allowed for first-class airline passengers. But basically, there, it doesn't make sense to have a very, very heavy-handed, intrusive level of pseudo-security for air travel, while most of the other parts of transit is not governed that way. But flip side is TSA is starting to use Viper teams, which they is like a
Viper is another acronym, is it not?
It is. It's. I mean, it's such a BS acronym. It's hard to keep track of. Let me pull this up with the wonders of Google. But it's a. Here we go. Visible Intermodal Prevention and Response Team. This is what TSA Viper acronym is for, and it's such a load of crap. It has these TSA teams go sweeping in to do basically random forcible searches on travelers coming out off of trains or going on buses. I think they even did it in City Transit in Houston. And it's the ultimate security theater nonsense. But just the fact that someone would have come up with Viper as an acronym shows that a lot of these guys, I don't know how they can breathe because where their head is. I mean, this is like a child's game. Viper, Visible Intermodal Prevention Response Team. It's like. I mean, were they all sitting in a circle, shall we say, when they came up with this?
But yet, the Viper teams are, it's very random as opposed to airports, which are universal. So no one could argue that these Viper teams are making anybody any safer because the odds of a terrorist, if they had chosen a bus as or a train as a target of opportunity, the odds are pretty low. They would get nailed by a Viper team. So the Viper team is, as you said in the early part of the show, pure theater. It's don't just stand there, do something. So the government has this aura of doing something, of building dependency on of Americans upon their government. Thank you, government, for keeping us safe. And therefore, we can tolerate the expenditure of time and the loss of liberty because here is a proof, I can see it with my eyes, that you are keeping us safer. And that is the sheep-like approach that Americans have taken to these intrusions.
Well, and Viper teams are, TSA Viper teams are a good example of how TSA only comforts stupid people. Because, for instance, I think there were some train stations in New Jersey that the Viper team went into and required everyone who wanted to board Amtrak at that station to go through a Viper search and take a look at their luggage and pat down all that kind of stuff, if memory serves. But there was another Amtrak train station 10 or 15 miles away that wasn't covered. So, okay, if you're a terrorist, and instead of going to this station in Jersey, you just go one station down and then you can blow up the train. But it's this level of idiocy from a policy level, and yet it's sanctified. People let the government get away with this. Congress pisses and moans. Congress pisses and moans, but it keeps financing this nonsense.
Jim, we have a minute left. How do our friends out there follow your writing?
Well, I'm on the USA Today Board of Contributors. I write occasionally for other papers. JimBovard.com. The last name is Bovard. I've got a blog, the link to that JimBovard.com site. And otherwise, just kind of hell raising here and there.
And you write for the Freeman, don't you, in the American Conservative?
I've written some for them in the past. I write for the Future of Freedom Foundation on a regular basis. So I just kind of make mischief where I can.
Are you working on any books right now?
Nothing which I would admit.
Thank you so much, Jim, for giving us an hour of your time. This is Bob Zadig saying to all of my friends out there, as we approach, as we're in the middle of the holiday season, travel safe. I know you are, because TSA has your back. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. I'll be back next Sunday. Please enjoy the holiday week. So long for now. Susan.